Israel as a legitimate and deserved response to the regime's attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says some of its staff members detained in Gaza were subjected to ill treatment and severe torture by Israeli forces. And Israel's unrelenting strikes claim more Palestinian lives across Gaza, as the death toll from the regime's genocide nears 34,000, mostly women and children. Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here on World News. Our top story, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has hailed Iran's recent punitive operation against Israel as a legitimate and deserved response to the regime's attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus. The movement said Iran's operation ends an era of Israeli impunity and unaccountability. That is, Hamas also deplored Western countries' concerted action to defend Israel against Iran's operation. It said Western states that defend Israel remain totally silent on the regime's genocide in Gaza and repression of Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Hamas also reiterated its call on Arab and Muslim nations, as well as resistance groups in the region, to continue supporting Palestinians in their struggle to liberate Palestine. Political commentator Saad Nimr joined us earlier to share his views on the significance of Iran's recent punitive operation against Tel Aviv.
It is quite obvious that the operation by Iran against Israel, it is so to give the Israeli really a real lesson about, you know, being above the law all the time and do whatever they want, hitting in Lebanon and hitting in Iraq before, and hitting also in Damascus and in Syria in general. It's about time that they should have, you know, learned the lesson that if you touch anymore the Iranian, then there will be consequences to this kind of operation. Now, the thing is, which is most important, that the aftermath of this operation, it changed lots of ideas and lots of thoughts in the region. We have noticed, for instance, that the Americans were very, very keen in saying that the Israeli were successful in, you know, encountering the attack, and most of the missiles and drones were hit down, and the Israeli were so proud of themselves. And now we know and we learn that it was the Americans, the British, the Emiratis, the Jordanian, and the Saudis who did most of the job. So it means that without this coalition to help Israel in that, Israel would be more vulnerable to the Iranian missiles, and it would have been, you know, hit very hard. And the Israeli do understand this lesson now.
Following Iran's retaliatory operation against Israel, states across the region have hailed unprecedented action as the best way to punish the aggressors. Earlier in our news review program, we discussed this issue with our guests in detail.
It's time now for the news review of this bulletin. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says Israel is seeking to spark a regional conflict, slamming the regime's attack on Iran's embassy in Damascus as a violation of international law.
Since October 7, the Israeli government has been taking provocative steps to spread the fire in the region. Israel's targeting of the Iranian embassy in Damascus in violation of international law and the Vienna Convention was the final straw. Those who have been silent about Israel's aggressive attitude for months immediately started to raise to condemn Iran's response. However, it is Netanyahu himself who should be condemned and cursed first.
Erdogan also slammed Israel's actions in Gaza as genocide and said the only way to ease tensions in the region is to stop the war. In addition to Turkey, other states, including Russia and Malaysia, have condemned Israel's deadly attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus. They have also hailed Iran's unprecedented missile and drone attack on Israel. The Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim has said that Iran's response was legitimate. Russia's permanent representative at the UN has also backed Iran's response, calling the U.N. Security Council's emergency meeting on Iran's retaliatory strike a parade of hypocrisy and double standards. Nicholas Davis is an author, journalist, and researcher who joins us from Miami. We also have Firuz Mithibarwala, National General Secretary at the India-Palestine Solidarity Forum, who joins us from Mumbai. Well, I'd like to welcome you both. And Nicholas Davis, let me first start with you. Taking a look at the impact that Iran's retaliatory military operation had against the Israeli regime, there are now many who are, after analyzing what has occurred, saying that there's a new now equation on the ground there in the West Asia region in particular. And I think it's referenced, maybe you can tell us better, partly because of the fact that the invincibility of the Israeli army, along with this so-called Iron Dome system, along with the other two, failed. Along with the fact that you have 10 other countries that were involved in trying to thwart these incoming missiles and drones. Do you see a new equation in the region because of the way that the Iran's retaliatory action impacted Israeli regime?
The attack on the Iranian territory, the consulate in Damascus, was a mistake by Israel, frankly. They do not give any regard to international law. So the fact that that is regarded in international law as Iranian territory, that will have had no weight in their decision to strike it. They simply will have seen an opportunity to kill some senior Iranian military officers. They calculated that they had means to do it, and they did it. Of course, for the rest of the world, as we look at this, that was a clear violation of Iranian sovereignty under the Vienna Convention and all the rules of international law. And so, and Iran responded to that. But what the effect of that has been is that we now have a direct war between Iran and Israel.
Iran announced it from 5 days back. Even when it was executed, Iran announced it. So there was plenty of time for them, meaning the Israeli regime, and the countries that backed Israel, such as the U.S., such as France, such as the U.K., there's 10 of them. But yet they were not able to eliminate and thwart and shoot down all of those incoming missiles and drones, which, by the way, is a small sampling of Iran's inventory. And also, it was a measured response that it didn't hit civilian targets. It didn't hit synagogues. It didn't hit hospitals. It didn't hit schools. It just hit the military target of choice was that Nevatim Air Base, I believe, which was used to attack Iran's consular building. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, undoubtedly, Israel Netanyahu has miscalculated the entire war scenario. They have lost the war in Gaza. They cannot proceed ahead in Rafah. Far from eliminating the Hamas, the resistance stands very strong in Gaza. The people and the resistance are returning back to parts of Gaza that the Israelis are retreating from. So Netanyahu was in a big fix. He did not know what to do. So he wanted to basically draw in Iran into the war equation so that the Americans would also come in. And today he has gone and attacked Iran's sovereign territory in Damascus. Now, Biden doesn't want to get entrapped because Biden is on the verge of losing the election in November. If he carries along this path, the Jews within the Democratic Party, like Chuck Schumer, have made it very clear. So America definitely doesn't share the Israeli agenda for expanding the war.
All right, we're going to end it there. Nicholas Davis, thank you, author, journalist, and researcher, and Firuz Mithibarwala, National General Secretary, India-Palestine Solidarity Forum from Mumbai. Thank you to you both. With that, we come to an end for this news review.
And welcome back, everyone. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says some of its staff members detained by Israeli forces in Gaza were subjected to ill treatment and torture while in custody. UNRWA said the detainees were beat and waterboarded. They were threatened with rape and electrocution. They're also forced to strip naked, among other forms of ill treatment. Agency said some of the detainees were subjected to insults and humiliation, such as deprivation of food, water, sleep, and toilet. In some cases, they were made to act like animals and urinated upon. And UNRWA said in other cases, detainees were threatened with prolonged detention, injury, or the death of their family members. Revelation comes as some UN rapporteurs had previously documented Israeli abuse of Palestinian detainees on a number of occasions. Hamas has called torture of the Palestinian prisoners affirmation of the regime's brutality and war crimes in Gaza. We earlier spoke to author and journalist Robert Fantina about ill treatment and the torturing of Palestinian detainees by Israel. He said regime's violations of prisoners' rights amount to war crimes.
They were treated horribly. As the other commentators said, these are crimes against humanity. These are war crimes. They were deprived of food for long periods of time. They were unable to sleep between, I think, the hours of 6 a.m. and 11 p.m. They were unable to speak during those times. They were restricted from use of toilet facilities. They were given food that was sufficient for a young child, and these are adult men in most cases. One man reported that he was beaten so badly his leg was injured, it was not treated, and eventually got gangrene, and his leg was amputated below the knee. This was a condition that he did not have previously. Also, as your other commentator mentioned, as the occupier, Israel is responsible for the welfare of the people of Palestine in the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, Jerusalem, everywhere. And it is also forbidden by international law for them to arrest someone and imprison them outside of the occupied territory.
Head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees warns man-made famine is tightening its grip across Gaza as Israel continues to block aid and seeks to end UNRWA's activities.
Across Gaza, a man-made famine is tightening its grip. In the north, infant and young children have begun to die of malnutrition and dehydration. Across the border, food and clean water wait. But UNRWA is denied permission to deliver this aid. Today, an insidious campaign to end UNRWA's operation is on the way, with serious implications for international peace and security.
Lazzarini said as part of his campaign to end UNRWA, the Israeli regime has repeatedly hit agency in Gaza, killing nearly 180 of its personnel. Israel's long call for the dissolution of UNRWA. Regimes accused UNRWA staff of being involved in Operation Al-Aqsa Flood back on October 7th, although the agency has vehemently rejected such allegations. Israel's indiscriminate strikes, which have been ongoing now for well over 6 months, continue to claim more Palestinian lives across Gaza. In one of the latest attacks, 7 civilians, including a woman and 3 children, were killed after a residential structure sheltering displaced people was targeted in the southern city of Rafah. 13 others were killed after Israel bombed a group of citizens near the Sheikh Radwan Bridge in Gaza City, and separately, Palestinian rescue workers recover the bodies of 11 Palestinians from under rubble in various parts of Khan Yunis. The Gaza Health Ministry says the death toll from Israel's genocide is inching closer to 34,000, with 76,600 people injured. The World Health Organization has renewed its call for the protection of Gaza's hospitals, which have been a regular target for the Israeli regime's attacks. The World Health Organization described the destruction inflicted on Gaza's health sector as heartbreaking. Israel's admitted over 7,200 of its soldiers have been injured since October 7th. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says it's targeted an Israeli military base in response to the regime's assassination of a number of its fighters. The movement said it used guided missiles and explosive drones, which directly hit northern part of occupied territories. 14 Israeli soldiers were injured. And earlier Tuesday, Hezbollah announced successful targeting of an Israeli Iron Dome battery in northern occupied territories with kamikaze drones, where a number of Israeli forces were also killed and wounded in that operation. Tensions have escalated between the Israeli occupation forces and Hezbollah fighters since the regime launched its genocidal war on Gaza. Iran has rejected an Argentine court ruling that blames the country for the Amiya bombing back in the 1990s. The foreign ministry spokesman described Argentina's new claims in the case as unsubstantiated and politically motivated. Nasser Kanani said The ruling was an unprofessional step that lacks legal and judicial prudence. He was commenting on a recent ruling by Argentina's Court of Cassation, which held Iran and Lebanon's Hezbollah movement responsible for attacks on Israel's embassy and the Amia Jewish Center in Buenos Aires. Kanani argued the ruling represents an effort to misdirect the course of the probe aimed at uncovering the truth. The spokesman said the case is currently under review in another court. He said verdict represents a new political project implemented by the enemies of the Islamic Republic, especially Israel, to distract from global attention from regime's genocidal war in Gaza. Meeting of a joint Syrian-Iraqi-Iranian judicial committee began in Damascus today, Wednesday, to reach a final formula for a joint judicial memorandum of understanding for coordination between the three countries through special documentation offices to follow up on committed terrorist crimes and issue prosecution warrants against perpetrators and then prosecute them.
The meetings of the Syrian-Iraqi-Iranian Joint Committee was inaugurated this Wednesday morning in Damascus at the Ministry of Justice and with presence of Iran's Vice President of Judiciary for International Affairs, Mr. Kazem Gharibabadi. The three delegations discussed the mechanism to finalize a memorandum of understanding in order to follow up on the terrorist crimes committed in the three countries and prosecute their perpetrators. The Iraqi delegation, headed by Judge Laith Jabir Hamza, emphasized that the work of the trilateral committee is very important for the exchange of information between the three countries in order to combat terrorism, whether at the level of the states or the terrorist groups. The Iranian delegation, along with members of the Syrian-Iranian Parliamentary Friendship Association, discussed with the Syrian Parliament Speaker, Hamoud al-Sabbagh, the ways to consolidate parliamentary relations between both countries and the latest Israeli terrorist attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus.
I emphasize with the Parliament Speaker the strong strategic relations that unite the two countries which have defeated the conspiracies of global arrogance. The Zionist regime targeted our diplomatic mission in Damascus in a coward terrorist attack, and the response of the Islamic Republic of Iran to the crime of the Zionist entity was in accordance with the Charter of the United Nations and within the framework of self-defense.
Gharibabadi and the judicial delegation met with the Syrian Minister of Foreign Affairs and discussed the importance of presenting the joint judicial efforts of the three countries to the international organizations.
The Islamic Republic of Iran is playing a vital role in combating terrorism in the region, along with the countries that have suffered from the impacts of this notorious phenomenon. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Operation True Promise paralyzed the integrated capabilities of the U.S. and the Zionist entity in the field of electronic warfare and is undeniable proof of the ingenuity in tactical design of Iranian defense industry experts. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kahan International wrote, "The so-called Iron Dome turned into a tattered tin shed as Iranian drones and missiles scored a strategic victory over U.S. technology to zero in on vital military targets in the heart of the usurped land of Palestine by piercing with precision the multi-layered defense system set up by U.S.-Israeli planners from the occupied parts of Iraq and Syria and throughout Jordan for protection of the illegal Zionist entity." Operation True Promise, launched in the early hours of Sunday, April 14th, was part of the vengeance vowed by the Islamic Republic as punishment for the Zionist violation of the diplomatic immunity of the Iranian consulate in Syria on April 1st that led to the martyrdom of 7 Iranian citizens. The murderous entity, ruled by a criminal clique of non-Semitic East European claimants to Judaism, is flabbergasted at Iran's powerful reach, although, as usual, it pretends to have intercepted most of the projectiles and that only minor damage was inflicted, with a few persons injured, but no one killed. This is nothing except sheer hypocrisy for the cowardly killers of over 33,000 civilians in Gaza over the past 6 months who survive on American support and whose only pastime is raining death and destruction on others, when the fact of the matter is that Iran's retaliation was not designed to indiscriminately kill the innocent, but to destroy Israel's arteries of atrocities. This is fully evident by at least 7 of Iran's hypersonic missiles striking the Nevatim Air Base in the Negev Desert that houses the supposedly stealth U.S.-supplied F-35 fighter planes and putting it completely out of use, so that the people of Gaza could be relieved for the first time of the daily bombing that kills hundreds of them and destroys their infrastructure every passing day. This particular strike was similar to the January 2020 barrage of Iranian missiles on the Al-Assad airbase of the U.S. in Iraq in retaliation for the unmanly murder of General Qasem Soleimani that was turned into a mess with no one killed, but over 100 American occupation forces inflicted with brain injuries. In the words of Scott Ritter, a former UN weapons inspector who hailed Iran's response and confirmed the striking at the Nevatim Air Base, "Israel is defenseless against Iran's weaponry." It confirms the fact that Iran's rapidly advancing drones and missiles clearly outsmart the various U.S.-manufactured aircraft, including the F-15, F-16, F-35, and refuelers that form the backbone of the Zionist regime's unbridled terrorism in Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria. In other words, Operation True Promise paralyzed the integrated capabilities of the U.S. and the Zionist regime in the field of electronic warfare, and is undeniable proof of the ingenuity in tactical design of Iranian defense industry experts. All said and done, it was a warning to the enemy that any foolish move now will lead to a swift and more powerful retaliation by Iran, this time to flatten Tel Aviv and Haifa as could be borne out by several of the guided projectiles that flew over the Knesset, or the so-called Israeli parliament, without the leveling it to the ground, in order to herald the Islamic Republic's mastery of the skies.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, be careful before that bad habit becomes permanent. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, an honor to be here at A to Z. So, we are talking about how we need to be very careful before that bad habit of ours becomes permanent. So, what are we talking about? Well, you know, unfortunately, we have some sort of bad habit lurking around in our personality. And so that bad habit of ours, you know, if it is not cured, if it is not, you know, solved, if it is not fixed, if you will, then what happens is that slowly over time it becomes permanent. And when it becomes permanent, it becomes a part of our lifestyle. And of course, these kind of bad habits, you know, they have a tendency to hurt our Islamic lifestyle. Now, we're not talking about, you know, certain bad habits that, you know, because of the very non-God-oriented, systems and world that we live in, unfortunately, bad habits are considered to be things like biting your nails or talking out of, position, meaning it's not your turn to talk and you do talk, talking out of place, for example, or a bad habit like you like to chewing gum. You know, in this non-God-oriented world and these non-God-oriented systems, these are bad habits that are spoken about, when in reality, these are not the bad habits that we're talking about. Yes, these are certain things that you pick up through your life. You know, they might not be proper when it comes to the cultural, you know, or the, you know, status of the society type issues, but that's not really the bad habit that we're talking about, and it's not a bad habit that Islam is talking about. So bad habits in the Islamic context are these, really they're sins. They are sins that we have become accustomed to, and they have become a habit, and they are bad in the context of Islam. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about be careful before that bad habit becomes permanent. And so we talked about in the previous segment what we mean by bad habit. We're not talking about chewing gum, you know, for hours on end. We're not talking about these other kind of petty bad habits, if you will. We're talking about sins as a bad habit. So sometimes, you know, when you're relatively young, you know, even in, you know, 10, 11 and above, and this is where parents have a huge role to play in making sure that, our child doesn't fall into some kind of a bad habit. But 10 years and above, and a lot of our Islamic sociologists and psychologists who work in the Islamic field, they really do talk about how even earlier than that, these bad habits are formed. But for example, if you sense like you know, that lying is becoming an issue, not telling the truth is becoming an issue, being cunning or being selfish is becoming an issue. For example, watching bad things is becoming an issue. These are all bad habits that we really need to get rid of before they become permanent. If these things become permanent, they are very difficult to cure as one's age goes forward. But still, that does not mean that at any age, with the grace and the blessings of the Almighty Allah, we are able to change. So make sure to get rid of those bad habits before they become permanent in our Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. Armed Zionist settlers blocked roads, vandalized property, and scuffled with Palestinians around towns and villages in the occupied West Bank recently. The Palestinian Health Ministry said a 17-year-old Palestinian named Omar Hamed died of his wounds hours after he was wounded by a settler's gunfire in the village of Beitin near Ramallah. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, at times, accompanied by Israeli forces, armed settlers have attacked several villages, including Al-Mughayr, Abu Falah, Duma, Al-Sawiyeh, and Hubara recently. Mobs of Zionist settlers have continued their rampage across the occupied West Bank, killing another young Palestinian man and setting fire to homes, as well as attacking an ambulance. The Ministry of Health confirmed the killing of 17-year-old Omar Ahmad Hamed due to critical injuries sustained during an attack by Zionist settlers on the village of Beitin, northeast of Ramallah, reported the official Palestinian news agency Wafa. At times, accompanied by the Zionist regime forces, armed settlers have attacked several villages, including Al-Mughayr, Abu Fallah Duma al-Sawi and Hobara recently. Also recently, settlers attacked vehicles of Palestinians near the village of Dar Salah as well as Al-Jaba in Beit Lahm, causing damage to some of them, Wafa reported. Recently, settlers set fire to a vehicle belonging to Ahmad Hossein Abu Mohsen and destroyed the power station that supplies electricity to the residents of Ain Qazal community in the northern Jordan Valley, northeast of the West Bank. Various areas in the Jordan Valley witnessed a wave of attacks by Zionist settlers, including the burning of homes and vehicles, and that's according to Wafa News Agency. The Palestine Red Crescent Society, PRCS, said Israeli regime forces attacked an ambulance and smashed the vehicle's windows in the town of Duma in the Nablus district. Recently, the Zionist regime forces blocked the entrances to the village of Al-Mughayr, northeast of Ramallah, preventing anyone from entering or leaving. Jihad Abu Aliyah, 25, was shot and killed by live ammunition fired at his home when Zionist settlers stormed Al-Mughayr. Around 25 Palestinians were injured in that attack. Zionist settlers also fired at PRCS ambulance on its way to the town. Recently, 6 residents of the town were injured by live ammunition, one critically in the head, in an attack by settlers on the village. The assailants also set fire to several homes and vehicles and also burnt a firefighting vehicle en route to extinguish the flames. Zionist settlers also attacked shepherds in the Khalila near the village, pelting them with stones. The main entrances to the towns of Turmus, Aya, and Senjil, located northeast of Ramallah, were also closed off by the Zionist regime forces recently. According to the official resistance news network, resistance fighters opened fire on Jamala military checkpoint, as well as the Shaka checkpoint near Jenin. A statement by the Salafist Brigade Resistance Group also said a female troop was shot at the entrance of the town of Senjil. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas recently called on the Palestinian Authority and its security forces to protect Palestinian people amid the escalation of settler violence in the West Bank. In a statement, Hamas said that the escalation of frenzied attacks carried out by settler militias are war crimes committed by the Zionist enemy. The statement also called on the PA and its security forces to practice the role entrusted to them to protect our people suffering under the way of daily raids and invasions, operations of killing and arrests, and daily crimes of the settlers, unquote. Wafa reported that according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, hospitals in the West Bank have treated more than 55 injuries, tens of which were serious, most of them from live bullets in the recent escalation. This is in addition to dozens of injuries treated by ambulance crews at the scene. More than 463 Palestinians have been murdered by the Zionist regime forces and settlers' gunfire in the occupied West Bank since October 7th, According to the ministry, the report added.
Welcome. The Iranian response to the Zionist entity through attacks with drones and missiles has established new equations that experts and analysts in the Hebrew media have turned their attention to, notably the deterrence equation imposed by Iran. This equation has led to a change in Zionist security doctrine after its failure. I'd like to go ahead and welcome my guest today, Dr. Ali Hamiye, military and strategic researcher. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you for having me with you.
Thank you. Dr. Hamiye, what does it mean militarily, of course, for Iranian missiles launched from 1,600 kilometers to strategically hit the Nafatim base?
Well, first of all, let's see what's the goal of this, let's call it hit back. I don't want to call it revenge, because the Iranian, even though they declared their attack 72 hours in advance, and plus the drones and UAV needs subsonic speed. It needs like more than 4 to 5 hours to reach its target. It means that the humanitarian attack from Iran point of view, that they don't want to have any civilian losses or casualties. They declare, and they have full confidence that they can reach their targets, even though the enemy is prepared to attack back, or prevent this attack from landing into their targets. They could not. It means the superiority of from like point of view as technology, as cyber security, the Iranian proved that they are very efficient, very sophisticated kind of technology, that they can reach any target in Israel, even though tried to be counter-attack.
Exactly. Well, Doctor, many are saying that Israel wasn't successful in downing these drones.
Let me tell you this. The Israelis try to intercept most...
Some saying that it was successful. Excuse me.
From my point of view, and from what I saw on TV, that I saw that maybe the Zionist entity plus all the American power with all the fleets in
the Jordanian,
Mediterranean,
UK,
and the Red Sea, plus the British Queen Elizabeth, in addition to the French and Germans, and plus using the airspace of Jordan as the first step of first front of defense. We can see that all what Israel and all those powers they could not intercept. Only they intercepted the drones and UAVs. They could not intercept any of the hypersonic missiles. And
yes,
we are talking about Fatah 2. Hypersonic is like with the high speed of 30 Mach or 16,000
yes,
kilometers. Or even though the most stunning point in this attack is using hypersonic cruise missiles. This technology does not exist for cruise missiles.
Well, Doctor, we are going to be talking a lot about this. Let's go ahead and see what else we have today. Let's move on now to the Iranian attack on the Israeli entity, which came in response to the consulate assault in Damascus that has changed many equations, notably the deterrence equation, as the entity lost the freedom to attack Iran without a real response. Well, Doctor, as we saw here, the equation has changed. It has shifted from the military deterrence to strategic patience. How important is this equation in context with the relation or the conflict between Iran and the Zionist entity?
This retaliation of Iranian army against the Zionist entity not only broke the strategic equation, but also they broke all the equations in all military meanings. Now we are talking about a new technology, we are talking about new satellites, we are talking about private GPS for military Iranian missiles. We can see that the Iranian are very advanced. We can see also that the technology and also security and military superiority of United States and the Zionist entity are broken now. They have no more superiority in the region, and also Iran only retaliate against the bases that were responsible for the aggressions against the Iranian consulate in Damascus only.
Well, we
are talking about
Talking about how it's changed the equation. What about Jordan? I mean, how has this changed Jordan's relation and the Arab-Iranian since that this is the first time they've actually defended Israel?
We have two allies in the region. We have the the resistance ally, and we have the ally of normalization in the region. And we can see that Jordan is a deep strategic geography for the Israel, and we cannot understand, neither me or even the Jordanian, that when Jordan declared that they defend their sovereignty and the airspace from foreign or strange objects, at the same time, they permit the Israelis and the American airplane to be in the space and to attack the incoming missiles. So the incoming missiles are for the benefits of Palestinian. The counterattack is for the benefits of Israel. So now Jordan has declared itself that to take a side with the normalization or the people or the countries that are going into a full normalization with the entity. Let me tell you one other thing. It's very important. This was the first attack by now. The Iranian has strategically it's a discipline move just to put the Israelis at their edge. You cannot go beyond this limit.
This
in case,
yes.
In case you want to go further, we have another attack, and will be like starting.
Well, I do want to get all this information from you and more. So let's go ahead and see what else we got. The Iranian attack on the Israeli Zionists has cast doubts on the Zionist military's ability to engage in a war, especially with the collapse of the security doctrine that needs to be reconsidered. This is the opinion of an ex-senior Zionist Air Force general. Well, Doctor, some very strong words here. What equations did this Iranian attack on the occupation entity actually establish, including the deterrent equation against the occupation itself?
I don't think there is a deterrent equation anymore because Israel is exposed. Now we can see all kind of missiles hit their targets precisely. And all the bases that supposedly to be highly protected, and I'm talking about Nevatim, and we can see all the power of F-35 Adir was inside this base. They first destroy all the surveillance towers, and then no contact between the control base and airspace. I'm talking about the fighter jets.
Well, so, Doctor, I do want to get your opinion on something.
I want to go into doctrines and the security doctrines. Well, I see that
right now everything is going around something and the time is winding down when it comes that Israel is now saying that there's a big possibility of retaliation. What is your opinion on this?
I think that there will be a retaliation and it will be a big mistake of the Israelis. And as we heard that, President Biden said to the Israelis that if you want to attack, we should know in advance. So it means they're giving a green light to the Israelis to attack, but please inform us in advance. That will be the biggest mistake that the Israelis will commit in this at this point, because the Iranian retaliation, it will be a very demolishing, crashing attack against the Israelis, and it will take us to a new stage, which will not be tolerated by the Zionist entity.
So not humanitarian, as you mentioned before. Doctor, the truth understood by Zionists is that Iran is capable of aerial attacks, which led Israel Ziv, former head of the information department in the occupation army, to affirm the alliance with the United States of America. The Iranian attack has proven that the Zionist entity needs the support of the United States because it is unable to confront Iran alone. What is your opinion on this?
I think even though for the United States it could not attack as it wish the Yemenis, and it could not intercept all the Yemenis attack against the destroyers and corvettes and whatsoever in the sea, it means there is something, new technology, which United States could not catch up to now. Now we are talking about if the United States can go and defend Israel. I think yesterday what happened a few days ago from Iranian attack, it shows that the United States also living in a lack of power to intercept all the Iranian missiles or drones. With the full package of the NATO and AUKUS and Israelis together, they could not counterfront the Iranian attack, which means now we are moving into a new not only doctrine, we are moving into a new stage and phases of a new war. This could not up to now be understandable by the United States and all its allies. What's going on? We used to say that Iranian declaring fake information about its power and the missiles, technology, and so on. It appears that it's true. Iran is very powerful. Now we are living in a very short time. The time is with us.
Exactly.
Okay.
Doctor,
and the land we are standing on very in our land.
Yes.
The American is far away. The Israelis are little bit now hesitating.
Actually, I do want to go ahead and move over a bit to the political arena and see what's going on there. Zionist social media has reacted to the discussion about the response to the Iranian attack with various opinions from Zionist activists.
Portal, it's clear that if we don't respond strongly, we won't be able to live here for even 20 years. Date, the problem is that Biden's America does not agree to attack Iran in response and said it will not help us in this. Ashri, Israel will not respond. We have weak leadership. Kobi Halevi, if Netanyahu does not respond, he loses the ability to mention Iran in the elections. Anna, Netanyahu falls and Israel falls. It cannot be defended. We are dying.
Dr. Hamiye, let's go ahead and see this. To what extent do the opinions of Gantz, Azenkot, and Smotrich appear realistic regarding the Zionist response, contrary, of course, to the demands of the United States?
Since when we see these contradictions inside the Zionist entity between who can prevail in attacking or not attacking, or questioning if the United States is going to defend us or not? This means that they are living in internal erosion, internal
conflict.
Corrosion. They are dying inside. They are now living in very, very vital situation that they cannot. They are not confidence. They don't have any more confidence in the United States going to defend us or not. Or somebody else will defend. It means that since the beginning, Israel was relying on the United States to be defended, and now they are questioning if the United States will attack Iran on their behalf, and if it's going to go all the way along, or maybe they are questioning if the United States is going to let them in the middle of the road right now, because all the American interests now at the edge. Either protecting Israel and the vital points of Israel, or protecting the American interest. I think the United States and the Israelis implement this idea that if Israel dies, it means the whole American emperor will go down with it.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you with us today, Dr. Ali Hamiyya, military and strategic researcher. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Until next time, salam. Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
People in many parts of the world have voiced their support for Iran's response to the Zionist regime's earlier attack on Iran's diplomatic mission in Damascus, Syria. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. As the news of Iran's retaliatory military action against the Israeli regime in response to an earlier attack on the Islamic Republic's diplomatic mission in Syria broke late on Saturday, 13th of April, people in many parts of the world took to the streets cheering for the Iranian military forces. The Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, launched retaliatory strikes on multiple locations in the occupied Palestinian territories in response to the 1st of April attack on Iran's consulate building in Damascus, which led to the assassination of 7 military advisers, including a senior IRGC commander. Soon after the news broke, people across Iran poured onto the streets in support of the Iranian military forces, hailing their direct military action against the apartheid regime in Tel Aviv. According to Iranian military officials, the unprecedented missile and drone strike targeted key military sites in the occupied territories. However, they noted that the action was limited. Iranian cities such as Tehran, Kermanshah, Isfahan, Mashhad, Shiraz, Qom, Arak, Gumbad-e-Kabus, Shahrud, and Yasuj, and many other major cities witnessed hordes of people carrying the Iranian and Palestinian flags and chanting slogans against the Israeli regime. Backing their country in its legitimate defense, people in Tehran could be seen celebrating with fireworks at many places. Ecstatic people held rallies in Palestine Square in central Tehran and outside the British Embassy, holding banners that read, "God's victory is near," and "Down with Israel."